I know you join me in realizing how blessed we are to have Richard. He's just offers so much to our service. Real quickly, I want to thank Jan and Kathy. They came up yesterday and started on removing the decorations, and then we had such an efficient team. They came in, and I don't think it was 30 minutes, and things were put up and ready to go. Thank you to everybody. Just an update. We have two people that, well, Charles is home from the hospital, is my understanding from Wayne yesterday, but we do have another member of the food pantry that did test positive, and for the most part, it's the group that kind of stays in that kitchen area back in the back, and so I really feel like the food pantry has been diligent in wearing masks and gloves and distancing themselves, but we have to follow Montgomery County CDC protocol, and so the food pantry will be shut down for the 13th and the 20th, just making you aware of that. I did talk to Wayne yesterday afternoon, and he and Mary Louise finally tested positive, tested negative for COVID, and so they are just thrilled. They still weren't feeling very well, and it'll take some time. They've been sick for a long time and really sick, and it'll take them a while to get back on their feet. Hopefully you read the newsletter. We had to do our congregational meeting a little differently than we have in the past. We did not meet in the sanctuary. We sent the business out in a letter, and then congregants were asked to send their ballots back to vote on the proposals that we normally would have done in person, and that were to change the bylaws, to approve the proposed budget, and the slate of officers for 2021. And so those were unanimously approved, and I appreciate all those that got their ballots back. And I truly appreciate and humbled by the fact that you trust me to facilitate the operations of our church for another church year. Thank you very much. I will remain on as board chair. But please note that really is, it's just a facilitating type of position. It requires volunteers, and in this past year, it required a lot of ingenuity and commitment to keep our ministries going, and we will need that same commitment and resourcefulness in 2021. So please seriously consider keeping up your giving and your the areas in which you volunteer and give of your time and talents. With that, I do want to add something. And there was a letter in my box today, and it really concerned me a little bit. But I know your tax statements went out. Some of you, or most of you, have probably gotten them. And on that tax statement, it does say, well, this is what I committed and this is what I paid. And I don't know if that was what was offensive in that letter, but please note, in no way is this church trying to embarrass somebody because they did not meet what they pledged. That's simply a tax statement that goes out from the treasury. I don't have anything to do with that. I'm so very appreciative of the generosity that this church showed in 2020. And I believe that is it for me. If you will stand for hymn 53, Morning Has Broken.
morning.
Good morning.
Please join me in the call to worship. Let us gather within the covenant of love, which binds us to God and one another.
We will sing songs of praise to celebrate with thanksgiving the saving acts and presence of Christ.
Let us gather to remember who we are and whose we are, beloved children of a loving God, the Creator of heaven and earth.
Let our worship begin in song and word and with prayer and praise to God, to whom be blessing and glory and honor forever.
We shall fill this space with as we worship you. Let them not substitute for honest acts of faith lived out daily. Make us doers of the word and not speakers only. Take what we say and turn the words into deeds of love and mercy. Transform our words into a living testimony to your word, which became flesh in service to humanity, and is in his holy name that we pray. Amen.
Time for our prayer, and we want to, of course, be thankful that Charles is at home. We want to pray for the other person that has tested positive, and I have some good news. Bill Boyd tested negative for COVID, so that's a reason for praise. Are there other individuals that you would like to lift up this morning? Johnny. Okay, Sue Johnson, Ricky Drake, and Sue Tomlinson. Is that right?
Chris.
Oh, Chris. Chris Tomlinson. Anybody else? Okay, Linda.
My niece Angelica.
Niece Angelica. Judy.
My sister Aline.
Aline.
George Jordan will be getting a shot in his ear.
Ooh, okay. Jordan will be getting a shot in his ear.
COVID, but she's fine from that, but because her immune system was so bad, she's now in the hospital with an infection.
Mm.
And so pray for Amanda.
Okay, pray for Amanda. Kathy.
Brother-in-law Steve.
Are there others? The Lord be with you. Let us pray. Creator God, thank you for hearing us. Give us the discipline and courage to hear you. We come before you with gratitude. We are grateful for your presence, your provision, and your protection in our lives, which is evidenced in so many ways. Father, we lift to you those whom we have named today and those who go unnamed. We particularly ask for strength, for wisdom, and for discernment for all who are in positions of leadership. We also pray for those who serve in various capacities battling this pandemic and for those essential workers who cannot isolate themselves. Help us to do what we can to make their jobs easier and safer. Forgive us for our choices and actions that are not in keeping with the lessons and the example of your Son. We continue to pray as he taught, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
As we come today to partake of the bread and the wine, we come in meekness of heart and humility of spirit. Because of your great goodness and gracious mercy, you sent your only begotten Son to die on the cross in our place and to pay the price for our sins. Thank you that you are a tender-hearted God and that your nature is always to show mercy to us and forgive us our sins graciously and lovingly. As we partake of the symbols of bread and wine, we eat and drink in remembrance of him who died for us and rose again. He has become to us both our meat and our drink. Help us to live in newness of life and to walk worthy before you all the days of our lives. This we ask in Jesus' name. Amen.
As I said last Sunday, as I've gotten older, communion has taken a more important place in my thoughts and my life. And I know that each one of us approach the communion service every Sunday in a different way. But I tell you, one of the things that has come to mean a lot to me is, you know, when I come to the communion table, I think of this as being my private time. A time when I, so to speak, turn the world off, turn my attention and thoughts to God. And there I can confess my sins. I can ask for God's forgiveness. I can ask for God's guidance and ask for God's blessing. I hope that you will make it a special time and examine your own life and your own soul and have a special time in the presence of God. On the night when he was betrayed, Jesus took bread and blessed it and broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you." In like manner, after the supper, he took the cup, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, which is poured out for many for the forgiveness of sins. As oft as you do this in remembrance of me."
Starlight shines, the night is still. Shepherds watch from a hill. I close my eyes and see the night when love was born. Perfect child gently waits. A mother bends to kiss God's face. I close my eyes and see the night when love was born. Angels fill the midnight sky and they sing, Alleluia, He is Christ, our King.
As I was getting ready this morning to come to church, it was sleeting over at my house. And needless to say, I had a few flashbacks. I spent part of 13 months in Korea in 66, 67. And the winters in Korea are extremely severe, at least in my way of thinking, being an old guy from the South. But there was one thing I learned, well, a lot of things I learned out of that. And one of them is that when you're standing in snow half knee deep and the temperature is below zero, your worship services have a tendency to become shorter. But they had some of the worst weather I think I've ever endured over there. But you just learn to live with it and do the best you can with it. Our scripture reading this morning is taken from the Gospel of Mark, the first chapter, verse 4 through verse 11. John the Baptizer appeared in the wilderness, proclaiming a baptism of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. Now John was clothed with camel's hair, with a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. He proclaimed, "The one who is more powerful than I is coming after me. I am not worthy to stoop down and untie the thongs of his sandals. I have baptized you with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit." In those days, Jesus came from Nazareth of Galilee and was baptized by John in the Jordan. And just as he was coming up out of the water, he saw the heavens torn apart and the Spirit descending like a dove on him. And a voice from heaven came, "You are my Son, the Beloved, with whom I am well pleased." Here ends our gospel reading. And for our text this morning, I'd like for us to use the fifth verse of the first chapter of Mark's gospel. And people from the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem were going out to him and were baptized by him in the River Jordan, confessing their sins. There's a neat little story about a priest one time getting ready to baptize a young boy. And he went to the father of the little boy and he said to him, "Baptism is a serious step in your son's life. Are you prepared for it?" The father of the little boy said, "I think so. My wife has made some appetizers and we have a caterer coming that's bringing cookies and cake for all the guests." And the priest said, "No, that's not what I mean. Are you prepared for this spiritually?" And the man said, "Oh, sure I am. I have a keg of beer and a case of whiskey." Now, I'm not sure this is what the priest had in mind in terms of being spiritually prepared for the service. Today, we are celebrating the baptism of the Lord. And you know the story. In fact, I read it to you just a moment ago. A man by the name of John was baptizing people out in the wilderness in the Jordan River, which means that he was several miles outside of Jerusalem. And this is interesting because the Gospel of Mark tells us the whole Judean countryside and all the people of Jerusalem came out to where he was, or went out to where he was. Obviously, John was an excellent preacher. He appealed to a large segment of the society. In fact, many of the people had to walk several miles to get out in the wilderness where John was. But they were willing to go that far in order to be touched by his ministry. It is also interesting that John was preaching a baptism for the forgiveness of sins. Scholars tell us that this is very unusual. Jews did not believe in baptism to a great degree, that is, for themselves, but for the Gentile converts that came into the Jewish faith, they had a three-step process that they had to go through. First was, if it were a male, he had to be circumcised. This was a defining mark of a Jew. The second thing that the convert had to do was to make a sacrifice as an offering for the payment of his sins. The third thing he had to do was he had to be baptized. And we are told that this was literally a full bath in which the whole body was bathed. And this was symbolic of a cleansing from all the pollution of sin in the man's life, so that now he would be cleansed and fresh to start a new relationship with God. But no such ritual was required for the Jews. But still, the people came out from the countryside and out from Jerusalem to be baptized by John. Could it possibly be that the people in this area became aware of their need for repentance and for baptism? You know, I suspect today that most people would not even admit that they need to be forgiven or need to repent. In fact, I dare say that many people really don't understand what repentance means. But in its simplest form, repentance means changing direction. It is unusual that a preacher could make a whole region of people become aware of their need for repentance and baptism as John did. You know, it may be that some of the people went out to hear John out of curiosity. Because, you know, John was kind of an unusual character. We're told that he had a rather strange lifestyle. At least he was different in his appearance. He wore clothes made out of camel's hair, had a leather belt around his waist, and he ate locusts and wild honey. His truly was a primitive existence in the wilderness. But there is no question about it. For some reason, John really appealed to the people who were looking for spiritual assurance. John's ministry was interesting, and so was his message. Have you ever really thought about what John's real message was?
No, it wasn't necessarily so much about repentance and baptism, but his real message was, after me comes one more powerful than I, the straps of whose sandals I am not worthy to stoop down and untie. I baptize with water, but he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit. John's ministry was designed to help people. Help people get ready spiritually for the coming of the Christ. When a young person or adult comes to the church for baptism, we hope that they will remember that to be baptized is not the end of the process, but rather it is the beginning of a lifetime of spiritual growth. Educators today talk about a lifelong learning experience, and so it is with the process of following Jesus. When we're baptized, this is not the end of it. It's only the beginning of a lifetime of growth. I found that people join the church for a lot of reasons. And some people really think that baptism is a form of spiritual insurance that will safeguard them from going to hell. Now, I hope that works for them, but that's not the best reason for baptism. The real reason for baptism is to welcome Christ into your life and to be open and make a commitment to follow him the rest of your life. This is why it is repentance is such a necessary part of the process. How can we open our hearts to the love of Christ if we still hold destructive emotions and practices? How can we follow him and live a life that with no regard to other people and our effect upon other people? I like the story of a little 7-year-old girl that told her dad and mother one morning at breakfast that I've got to go see my pastor. And they said, well, why? Why do you want to go see your pastor? Well, the only thing she would tell them was that something was broken in her life and that she needed to go see Dr. Steve. Well, they kind of pushed her off, but every day for 2 weeks, she kept telling her parents, I need to go see Dr. Steve. So finally, the parents decided that they'd take her to see her pastor, Dr. Steve. And she goes into Dr. Steve's office, and in all sincerity, she says to him, something's broken in my brain. And then she goes on to say, you know the thing in your head that keeps your thoughts from coming out of your mouth? It just doesn't work for me. Something's wrong. She says, when I think of something bad, I just say it. And then I feel bad about it because sometimes I hurt people's feelings. Dr. Steve sat there for a few moments and then he said, you know, maybe all of us have a broken brain. I have to say that sometimes I know that I do. Sometimes my brain is truly broken. But who hasn't said something that we've regretted later? And who hasn't done something that we have regretted later? I am loyal to my faults, said comedian Steve Allen one time, and I have a lot of them, and I'm loyal to all of them. No, Steve Allen could have been speaking for all of us, couldn't he? But our faults, by definition, are thoughts and practices that keep us from being all that God wants us to be. I read one time about a little small country church that was having the closing of a revival, and they were having a baptism service in the local river. And of course, some of the congregation gathered out there, even though it was a cold January day. Well, the pastor baptized the first person, and when he came up out of the water, and he kind of shook a little, and the pastor said, was the water cold? And the man said, no, it wasn't cold. And one of the deacons spoke up and said, dip him again, preacher, he's still lying. There are some things that we have to give up if we profess to follow Christ, and lying is one of them. Repentance isn't something that we do for God. Repentance is something that God does for us. Our repentance does nothing to enhance the life of God. Baptism is entirely for our benefit. In her book, Amazing Grace, A Vocabulary of Faith, Kathleen Norris writes about a little boy who wrote a poem one time, and he titled the poem, The Monster Who Was Sorry. Now, in the poem, the little boy explodes about his hatred and his ill feelings when his daddy yells at him. In fact, sometimes he just kind of loses it. One time he threw his little sister down the steps. Another time he almost destroyed his room along with a lot of other things. But he concludes the poem saying, Then I sat down in my messy house and said to myself, I shouldn't have done all of that. Have you ever thought about it? That maybe some of us have a messy room in the house we live in. And that messy room mars our peace of mind. It may endanger our marriage. It alienates us from our neighbor and from God. It loads us down with guilt. It fills us with fear of being found out. It bogs us down with depression. We're unable to be what God wants us to be. But then what we should do is we should ask ourselves, why do we put up with this? Why not repent from your wayward ways before it's too late? Of course, the worst sin, the worst thing about our sins is what I'm trying to say, is what it does to our relationship with God. One time a very dirty little boy came running into the house late in the afternoon. He'd been out in the yard all afternoon playing with his friends. And he came over to his mother and he said, Who am I? And his mother, being in somewhat a playful mood, decided just to have a little fun with it. And she looked at him and she said, I don't know who you are. And the little boy said, Wow, Mrs. Johnson told me that I was so dirty that my own mother wouldn't even recognize me. But ask yourself the question, is there so much debris in your life that maybe God does not recognize you any longer? A few years ago, Pastor James Henry White learned that one of the deacons in his church had gone off and left his wife and all their young children and taken up with another woman. When Pastor White confronted the man about it, he replied by saying, Now I'm happy, Pastor, and I know that I've done the wrong thing, but you know, I really don't care. Pastor White tells that even years later, as he thinks about the words that man said, it makes chills run up and down his spine. He said, Here I was looking a man in the face who professed to be a Christian. And he knowingly had done the wrong thing, chosen the wrong path. And he felt no guilt about it. He goes on to say, Only God knows where the man is now, and whether or not he has ever realized the consequences of his choice. This man was in danger of losing everything, losing his relationship with his source of being, losing everything that was decent in life. And this is why repentance is so important. Our lives can reach the point to where God no longer sees his image in our soul. But the good thing about it is, because God cares about us and loves us so much, he offers us his grace and love and forgiveness. And he can even help us change the direction of our lives. Interesting enough, John came preaching about repentance. Jesus came preaching about the same thing. Why? Because repentance is for our benefit. It is not something we do for God, but it is something that God does for us. God offers us the invitation today. Repent and begin getting ready for a new life with Jesus Christ. That invitation is extended to us today, but will we accept it? Let us pray. Gracious God, we are grateful for the forgiveness that you offer us, the love that you have given to us, and for your willingness to help us get our lives on the right path and do our best at living for you and serving you. We pray that you will lead, guide, and direct us not only this day, but throughout each day of our lives. Forgive us of our shortcomings. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Receive a benediction. Almighty God, help us to renew our commitment and dedication to you, and now dismiss us with your richest blessings. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Church is over. Let our service begin.